Hello there, this is Ken Barron from the National Association of Black and White Men Together. The podcast today is on White Riot and the GOP. So, out-and-out racism and a longing to return to the days of white supremacy were high on the list of motivations of the pro-Trump mob that ransacked the Capitol on January the 6th. They resent and mourn their loss of centrality and what they perceive as their growing invisibility. We seek to help us gain further insight into the lethal forces that attacked Congress a week ago and is poised to strike once again. Is the frustration amongst non-college white men at not being able to compete with those higher up on the socioeconomic ladder because of educational disadvantage? And what encourages desperate behavior and a willingness to believe a pack of lies? Trump supporters want to return to a past when white men saw themselves as the core of America and minorities and women, quote, know their place. They believe they are the true defenders of democracy. They fear a loss of attention, a loss of validation, and these are the people who have always had racial privilege, but have never had much else. Trump listened to them and spoke their language when few other politicians did. It is very difficult for individuals and groups to come to terms with losing status and power. They respond to those threats with stress, anxiety, anger, and sometimes even violence. U.S. citizens who aren't competing well, whose marital prospects have dimmed, and who are outraged are the most likely to be in on the attack. Resentment towards successful white elites is in play here, as evidenced by the attack on Congress, an overwhelmingly white seat of power. When the jobs went away, families fell apart. There was no narrative other than the classical American dream that everyone who works hard can get ahead. And the implicit correlate was that those who fall behind and are on welfare are losers, lazy, and often minorities. There is a belief that one's decline in social and economic status is the result of unfair, if not corrupt, decisions by others, especially so-called elites. These people who did those things appear to be motivated by strong moral conviction. In addition, there is a decline in odds that those with very low levels of education can marry up. Now, in this new world, promises of broad-based economic security were replaced by a job market where you can have dignity, but it must be earned through entrepreneurial success or the meritocratic attainment of professional status. There is an idea that white Christian Americans are losing dominance, be it political, material, and or cultural. And a more racially, ethnically, religiously diverse U.S. that is also a democracy requires white Americans to be acquiescent to the interests and concerns of racial, ethnic, and religious minorities. Racism is the key construct here in understanding why this sort of violence is possible. Whites in the last 60 years have seen minorities gain more political power, economic, and educational opportunity. All the revolutions, civil rights, women's rights, gay rights have been key to the emergence of the contemporary white ring. As the voices of women, people of color, and other traditionally marginalized community grow louder, the frame of reference from which we tell the story of America is expanding. People in color in political offices, people controlling their women controlling their fertility, LGBTQ people getting married, white people want power, holding their rightful position over women, non-whites, perhaps non-Christians, in the US, and of course, in their view, sexual deviants such as you and I, we gay people. The decline of male status in the family is more sharply articulated than in Europe, hastened by in the US by the economic inequality and religiosity, leading to pockets of greater male resistance to the redefinition of gender roles. Many lines of conflict mutually reinforce each other rather than crosscut. Less educated whites tend to be more evangelical and more racist, and they live in geographic spaces with less economic momentum. We would not have Trump as president if the Democrats had remained the party of the working class. The decline of labor unions proceeded at the same time when Democrats were president as when Republicans were president. The same is, I believe, a true loss of manufacturing jobs as plans moved overseas. Trump speaks in a language that ordinary people can understand. He makes fun of the elites. He appoints judges and justices who are true conservatives. Trump supporters who rioted in D.C. share the beliefs that Trump is their hero, regardless of his flaws, and that defeating Democrats is a holy war to be waged by any means. The Republican Party may fracture, splitting off the principled Republicans from the unprincipled Republicans and Trump cultists. If just a few principled center-right Republicans like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski abandon this GOP or are simply willing to work with the center-left Biden team, the Problem Solvers Caucus in the House, and like-minded members in the Senate, the people who got the recent stimulus bill would become stronger than ever. Also, if the principled Republicans split from the Trump cult, the pro-Trump GOP may have a very hard time winning a national election anytime soon. And given what we've just seen, these Trumpers absolutely cannot be trusted with power again. What is it that Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz are dreaming of when they went full treason and tried to get Congress to reverse Biden's win on the basis of the big lie? They were dreaming of a world of Trumpism without Trump. They thought that if they cravenly did Trump's bidding now, once he's gone, his base would be theirs. But as Trump made clear at the rally that inspired some of his supporters to ransack the Capitol, the Trumps are interested only in Trumpism with Trump. Still, a recent Quinnipiac survey showed that more than 70% of Republicans still support Trump. You can be sure he will keep on insisting it is his party. If you look closely, there are actually four different Republican factions today. Number one, principled conservative. Number two, cynically tactical conservatives. Number three, unprincipled conservatives. And four, of course, Trump cultists. In the principled conservative camp, I'd put Romney and Murkowski. They are the true American firsters. While animated by conservative ideas like small government and free markets, they put country and constitution before party and ideology. They are the rule abiders. In the cynically tactical conservative camp, which you could call the Mitch McConnell camp, I put all of those who try to humor Trump for a while, going along with his refusal to acknowledge the election results until, quote, all the legal votes were counted, end quote. But once the electoral votes were cast by each state, slid into the reality-based world and confirmed Biden's victory, some sooner than others. They are the rule benders. The unprincipled Republicans, the rule breakers led by Hawley and Cruz, along with the other seditious senators and representatives who tried to get Congress to block its ceremonial confirmation of Biden's election. Finally, of course, there are the hardcore Trump cultists and QAnon conspiracy types, true believers in and the purveyors of the big lie. I just don't see how these four camps can stay together, and for Americans' sake, I hope they don't. But Democrats have a say in this too. This is their best opportunity in years to get some support from center-right Republicans. Be smart. Ban the phrase, quote, defund the police, end quote. Talk instead about, quote, better policing, which everyone can get behind. Instead of democratic socialism, talk about more just and inclusive capitalism. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can tune in again. This is Ken Barron with the National Association of Black and White Men Together. You can find us where you get this podcast or other podcast channels. You can look at us on nabwmt.org. We have Parallel Science, nabwmt.online, that will give you more of our political action. We're on Facebook, of course, and all the other social media platforms. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.